And another thank you to ButcherBox for supporting my show. Every month, ButcherBox ships a curated selection of high-quality meat right to your home. Right now, ButcherBox is offering new members a 10 to 14-pound turkey for free in their first box. Just go to butcherbox.com/Lori to sign up. And thanks to Gusto for supporting my podcast. Running a small business is hard work. Fortunately, Gusto makes payroll easy, and Gusto offers flexible benefits, simple onboarding, and so much more. Get 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/Lori.
Putting yourself in the room with really smart people that balance your strengths and your weaknesses is keys to success.
Welcome to the Earn Your Happy podcast. I'm Lori Harder, founder of Light Pink, best-selling author, three-time fitness world champion, and I'm a crazy multi-passionate entrepreneur. My journey has taken me everywhere from being a broke waitress, barista, retails associate, and personal trainer with massive anxiety and no belief in myself to later becoming a multimillionaire in love with my life. In 2007, my husband and I lost everything. We found ourselves hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt at rock bottom. We had no ideas and I had no education to fall back on. This is when I found personal development and learned everything I could about business. Not by choice, but because I realized no one was coming to save me. The conversations on this podcast are going to let you know that you're not alone and that we all feel like we don't know what we're doing. We're going to give you the tools to help you face your fears, take action, start your business, and grow those massive dreams that are keeping you up at night. It's time to create a life that you can't hide from and put so much on the line that your higher self is forced to come out. You're going to stop waiting for someone to approve of you and you're going to anoint yourself. Because I'm obsessed about building businesses that give women a platform, I want to feature you. So if you text the word podcast to 310-496-8363, you can get your questions answered on our Q&A segment along with a shout out. And if you rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, we're choosing someone every month to get coached and featured on our show. It just might be you. So let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here. If you guys have not gone to lightpink.com yet or followed us at Drink Light Pink and gone to the link in our bio, in order to get a chance to win our sweepstakes that we are running, it is $2,800 worth of prizes and 1 year supply of free Light Pink when we launch. If you just go to @drinklightpink on Instagram and go to the link in our bio, enter the sweepstakes, and then we send you the holiday guide, which is all about saving you time, saving you money, and just really enjoying some browsing, online shopping, supporting women's businesses, supporting small businesses, exclusive discounts. Go get that preset that I've been using. If you want your Instagram feed and all your holiday pictures to look absolutely amazing, you guys, we literally created the cutest holiday preset for you. Not to mention, there is a free membership to Powerhouse Women Community in there, 3 months free. What? You guys know that is my besties community. It is growing like crazy because of all of the value she's offering. So definitely go enter the sweepstakes and you will immediately be able to access and download our Light Pink Holiday Guide. And today on the podcast, I have Chris Bernard. He is a CPG expert and investor with over 20 years experience in apparel, outdoor, and packaged foods. Having successfully navigated the better-for-you snacking space with protein pack snack brand Buff Bake, Bernie has now shifted his insights to the condition-specific market, identifying mood and mental well-being as the next big frontier in food and beverage. MindRight seeks to lead the good mood food movement via a platform of tasty snacks supporting beverages that support your mental well-being. And I really loved chatting with him because you guys obviously know that I am building Light Pink And if you are interested in building a CPG company or just want to apply some of the things that he has said to your company, your business, your personal brand, there are so many powerful insights in here. If you are interested in really building anything, this man is a marketing genius. He's a networking genius, and you can definitely take a lot of these tips and apply them to anything that you are creating. So let's get started. Welcome to the show, Chris/Bernie. Apparently, I just learned that's your other nickname as well.
My alter ego.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to have you on the show. Thank you for coming on.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I get really, really just at the thought of being able to ask another founder or a founder who's done so many incredible things in their career. I get so excited to be able to ask you questions because not only is it going to help so many people on this podcast, but selfishly, I also get to learn so much. So I would love for you to share a little bit about what companies you have founded and where you really started, where these different ideas came from.
Yeah, I mean, I look at my career as an entrepreneur all the way back to when I was in elementary school selling skateboard products and supplies to my friends. And I always enjoyed like the selling part of things and the pitch. You know, I went through high school and college without a lot of direction as to what I wanted to do or who I wanted to be. I didn't have, you know, someone in my life pushing me towards something specific that, you know, some of my friends, like doctor, lawyer, engineers,
right.
That wasn't me. It was never me. I ended up putting myself through college by working in a snowboard shop. I was super passionate about snow sports. I loved it. I ended up getting a job as a independent sales rep for Burton Snowboards, which was...
And that was a pretty coveted job, wasn't it?
Coveted. Okay. I mean, there were 10 reps across the US, North America, and it was a very, very difficult job to come across, especially with a company of such stature within the industry.
I don't know if you know this, but I've snowboarded since I was like a wee child.
What mountains did you grow up going?
Well, very small mountains, but yeah. I grew up in Marquette, Michigan, and I went literally 5 days a week growing up my entire life snowboarding. So I was like, obsessed everything snowboarding. So I loved this part of your story and kind of like lived that life. So I knew all about it. So that makes me question, you know, if you didn't, how did you get into a position like that? Which I think will relate to everything entrepreneurial and what you do now, but like to be able to sell yourself into a position like that without having necessarily experience or a big past in that, correct?
None as a sales rep, you know, but okay. I did know, I knew snowboarding. I knew I was passionate about it. And I was the, you know, the manager of the store, and the vice president of sales came in and, you know, he's like, hey, you know, Chris, want to ask some questions. And I shared with him from my heart, how I felt about the brand and the direction and what I felt would be great. And the next day he called me and said, hey, we've got some opportunity. If you're ever interested, we want to keep you on the radar. And sure enough, about a month and a half later, he called me and said, hey, we're looking for a rep. And I did my best to put together what I thought, you know, would lead to success in that territory as a rep. I put it all on the line. I held back nothing because I've never been so excited about something in my entire life. And when they said yes to me, after passing over several top tier reps within the industry, it was like winning lottery. You know, and it was just this path that took me, you know, it built confidence within me. It helped shape like, you know, this fear around, okay, now what the hell do I do to build this thing? I need to build a team. I need to get, you know, everyone health insurance and operationally payroll and set
and
up.
You didn't
all
know any of this stuff before.
I had no idea.
So did you ask people or how did you dissect that?
Of course, you know, you find people that are successful and you find a way to bring them value so that in turn you can just absorb from them as much as you possibly can.
Did you figure that out by like watching your parents or how did you figure that out? Because that usually takes a long time for people to figure out. And you were just like moving really fast.
It was just one of those things where like you see who's doing it well and you just run to it. You run to it. You emulate what works. Because this is all science. It's science, right? It's like, you know, if you put energy into something, you're going to get energy out of something. Mm-hmm. So if this guy's winning, he's doing something right.
Right.
How do I learn from that?
Mm-hmm. I always love that phrase, and it's so basic, but success leaves clues. Like, look at everything that they did. And if you can't see what they did, try to figure out how you can see it. Like, so huge. That's why I'm studying you right now. So it's great. I'm literally like,
I hope I leave something.
Come bring your brain on here. We're just going to learn. We're going to learn some more. Okay. So I love this, and we'll keep going down the road of, you know, how you got to where you are now. And I know you had an amazing company in between that as well, but something that I want to ask a little bit more about was the willingness that you had to share what you wanted, like share your goals, share what you thought. You know, you're talking to somebody in, you had said Burton, correct?
Yeah, Burton.
Yeah, you were, you know, talking to like one of the highest people in Burton saying how they could make the company better. Like, most people would not have the guts or the nerve to, number one, like share that. And number two, you know, hold nothing back that you want, like proclaim exactly what it is that you want. And that's how people start showing up and helping you. So what would you tell people right now to do if they have a big dream or goal like that, and they, you know, get these little windows of opportunity?
Yeah, I'd say put it on the line. Go for it. Don't hold back. I mean, literally anything is possible. Anything is possible. Just go for it. Mm. And it's so simple. It's so simple, but it's like, it's taking the step to do that. Mm. Imagine telling someone like, you know, Jake Burton or his next person down, like, you're not doing this right. I think that this might be better, and here's why. You need to be able to substantiate it, but that takes a lot of guts to do that. And it's just, it's finding that window and that opportunity and then just going for it.
Oh my God. Okay. So just real quick, put me in that room when you did that. Was it like, hey, do you mind if I share something? Or was it like, you know, I'm not sure how did you get, I wish I could just like be a fly on the wall in there.
I think I might have had an unfair advantage in this situation, because at the time, mentally, I was really excited about another brand within the industry. It's called Ride Snowboards.
Yep.
And they were like young and up and coming, yeah, brand, totally. Really cool things. And that rep of that brand had invested a lot of time and energy into me, which was great. He was a great mentor. He actually helped guide me into getting, as I got the opportunity to interview for the Burton role, he helped guide me into that position, as, you know, putting to some of the profile and an opportunity together to get the job. Mm-hmm. But what that gave me was like, I was really excited about that. So I had nothing to hold back about Burton. And it's like, here's what's happening over here. Here's what the opportunity looks like. I felt really confident in sharing my opinion at that time.
Well, that is a beautiful point. Because if you feel, I mean, I think that's it's such a great point, because if you feel, sometimes I think when we are relying on something for our happiness or an outcome, that's when we mess it all up. It's like, we can want the thing really bad, but also it's kind of like, I've had to develop this mantra as an entrepreneur, like this or something better, just in life in general. Otherwise you're going to hinge way too much on that one thing. And if it falls through or breaks, which we all know it does that, right? It's like, yeah, you're going to feel just like a failure, and, you know, everything fails, and you have to just, I don't know, is there a mantra that you kind of use or something in your head that just makes you be able to makes your risk tolerance higher?
You know, for me, like, it's just like, our time here is limited, and you don't wait for tomorrow. You just do it. Just do it. Do the scary stuff. You talk about it all the time. You know, it's like, you have to put yourself out there. And I think when you have expectations that are set too high, that creates opportunity to fail. Mm-hmm. It's taking small steps. I do that with my kids all the time. And, you know, they all play sports. And I expect very little from them, because otherwise sets these big goals and they just are not reachable. I'd rather they get your shoes on, go outside and play. Mm-hmm. Let's start there. And then let's see what happens. So it's just setting appropriate expectations of yourself and the opportunity that you're living.
Oh man. I mean, I still do that. I'm just like, okay. You eventually want to work out, but how about we just start with tying your shoes? It's true. We do it as adults, you know?
Yeah. Like, I'm going to go for a 5-mile run tomorrow.
No, you're not. Maybe.
But if I could get from here to the end of the block and back, that's a win. And if I happen to go further, fucking did great.
Yes, totally. That's exactly how I was today, actually, on the treadmill. I was like, okay, just try, get 1 mile done. And then if you want to stay on, you can. And I did. So proud of myself. Okay. So tell me about the move out of when you went from Burton into the next opportunity.
So I was with Burton for 16 years and it was, it was an independent agency. So it was my business that represented. So I had other smaller brands under my company that we represented. So Burton made up 95% of it. It was a huge burden. You know, I was, that was for my family. And Burton was my family. It was my home. It was very close to Jake and Donna, the owners. And it was my everything. It became my identity. So like when the time came and the market starts shifting and you're like, maybe I need to try something else before the rug gets pulled out from underneath me and the opportunity shifts without me shifting, let me start thinking about a change. And I exited, I believe it was 2016, I think. And this is probably something I wouldn't recommend to other entrepreneurs. I jumped as fast as I could into something else without giving a little bit of runway to just the cool down thought process. What's important to me? What's next? I got excited about an opportunity. A friend of mine who had left Burton a few years prior started a small little startup making nut butters and protein cookies. And I loved the concept and what they were doing. And I thought I could bring a lot of value to it. So I wasn't an initial founder, but I came in shortly after he and our other partner founded the business. And the company was called Buff Bakes. And it was protein enhanced snacks. And it was nut butters and cookies, protein cookies. Mm-hmm. Invested a significant amount of money into that company. I came in and ran it as the CEO. And we grew it pretty fast. We scaled very quickly, making probably every single mistake you could make in CPG. Every single mistake you could make.
I'm so grateful to hear that. Okay, keep going.
You're going to do it. And you got to do it because that's how else you're going to learn.
Yeah, it's true.
And I shouldn't even call mistakes anymore. There was like every single thing I did was a learning lesson and a lesson well learned that we will try to avoid with this next endeavor. But it was a great run. You know, I got my PhD in the food space.
How long was that one? How long were you in that one?
3 years.
Oh, that's pretty quick.
4 years. Sorry. Yeah, it was pretty quick.
Yeah.
I put my time in, you know, it was where I wanted to put some money and, and build and learn. And that's just what I did. And it was a great opportunity to build something within the food space, which I love foods. I'm a foodie. I love snacking. I'm a big snacker. And I love this uncharted territory of like opportunity that I could take all these really cool things that I learned over the years with building and marketing a brand like snowboarding and, you know, infuse it into this food space. And we did that very successfully. We brought on some really great investors, strategic partners. We landed some incredible accounts, Whole Foods, Sprouts, Publix. It was an endless opportunity of just, you know, building nothing into something.
Oh my gosh. There are so many questions about the building nothing into something and just those first couple of years around creating something. When did you already know what kind of your zone of genius was that you were bringing to that company initially? Like, did you walk in and say, this is what I'm going to offer? And then what did it end up being the same? Or did you notice that you had other skill sets that really came to the surface to help move it forward?
I knew what I wanted to bring to the company. And that was like going out and getting sales because I feel I can build relationships quickly at the sales level. I can position the product. I can help build the tools to go out and sell and I can build a team. That's what I did. But what I realized that I was really good at was investor relations and going out and selling the vision and the idea and the brand and the business itself.
Okay.
And we ended up bringing in some incredible strategic partners. One of it, which was 7-Eleven, who invested into the company as part of their their up-and-coming brand strategies, which is a great one. We brought in a great company out of New York called Excel Foods, who really believed in the brand and the idea and the concept. But it was just, you know, really building the story and going out and selling this vision.
Let's take a quick break because I have to tell you something that's going to save you time and make your life easier. Let's just tell ourselves that Thanksgiving is basically here and we need to start prepping like yesterday, you guys. I have an inside tip for you on how you can get a high quality, humanely raised turkey delivered to your door before the holiday. And it's all thanks to ButcherBox. Right now, ButcherBox is offering a new member 10 to 14 pound turkey for free in their first box. Just go to butcherbox.com/Lori to sign up. ButcherBox sources their meat from partners with the highest standards for quality, no antibiotics, and no added hormones. They provide 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, or wild-caught seafood. Having just sold our house so quickly and unexpectedly, we're having to lean on family and friends to host us for the holidays. So the least we can do is bring them the turkey to cook for Thanksgiving dinner. If you're in a similar boat, you can do the same thing, and you can relieve yourself of the stressful, time-consuming run to the grocery store. Maybe you don't even find a turkey this year. That's why it's so important to order it now. All you have to do is sign up for ButcherBox today. Plus, each month you'll receive a box that comes with 8 to 24 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. It couldn't be a more perfect time to sign up so that you can get your holiday meals prepped and ready to go. As for shipping, ButcherBox is packed fresh and shipped frozen for your convenience, and all shipping to the United States is totally free. Right now, ButcherBox is offering new members a 10 to 14 pound turkey free in their first box. Just go to butcherbox.com/Lori to sign up. That's butcherbox.com/Lori to receive a free turkey in your first box. Let's get back to the show.
So this is a great question just for people listening, because we have a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs and then first time entrepreneurs and people who want to raise money or people who want to raise next level money. And, you know, you're really talking about going out and selling that vision and what it looks like and what it takes. And that also being, you know, a major role in the company, like that could technically be one of the main and only roles, is keeping people within the vision and selling it, continuing to do that with partnerships and things like that. So what does that actually look like when you're going out and do it? So you're like, well, Excel and 7-Eleven and all of these incredible companies, but what did that look like for you for prep work and for like when you met them? And I know that you're really great with relationships, but for people who even, you know, I'm great with relationships, but I kind of needed a lead in to understand what that looks like when I'm asking those people.
You know, I think that that's where finding mentors in the space that have done it before, understanding what the path to success looks like, knowing what the expectation is, how long does it take to raise money? What can I expect for the process? Understanding every step of what that looks like.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, every industry is different. Every industry has investor-specific investors that private equity groups or venture capitalists or angels that focus specifically on certain industries or categories. You know, simply Googling and trying to find those lists of people that invest in those spaces is an important part of it. But I think understanding the landscape first is probably your most important tool.
So good. Why do you love creating these types of products? Why do you love CPG?
I just think it's, I love on the go snacking. I love, the idea of quick, easy to use. The manufacturing, that is actually another part that became relevant to me, that I'm really good on the manufacturing side, identifying co-packers.
Oh, wow.
Manufacturers, ingredient suppliers, and then leveraging them for pricing and value and understanding what scale looks like.
Just so sad you're not for hire. somebody who has like a CPG product, I'm like, oh yeah.
Anytime you guys need help on your
Great. We can talk about all those really exciting things. Just kidding. Actually, it is exciting once you're in it.
It's exciting. It's just like these puzzles that you're trying to.
It's such a puzzle.
A puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like puzzles, like this is a great one. And I think, you know, the manufacturing side is, you know, a really exciting part of the CPG business. And I think that's one of the reasons that continues to draw me in. R&D, developing the products. I mean, how many rounds have you developed of Light Pink? You know, it's waiting for that next one to come through, and that opening that can and trying it for the first time or the fifth time or the 13th time. And it's so exciting.
It really is. I think especially coming from more of the digital space, cause I did all, events, online courses, and then books, but that's even still more, you're not really holding the product as much with a book. It still feels very digital, you know, when you're writing it and all the different things and the edits back and forth. So going into a product is like one of the hardest things I've ever done in my entire life. Like I thought that I've done hard things, and it feels so different. Every day is something new. It's not only something new that you're learning, but it's new decisions and putting together new teams. And I have so much, like, I really look up to people who have done anything in the product space and been successful, because like you said, it is a puzzle piece. But I also want to point out like this massive, like, personal development piece. Like, you have to be extremely patient. You have to look at like, and this is true with everything, but this is like next level of, I want to know about like your tolerance for not, a lot of times you don't know the next step, or you're pivoting, or something didn't work, and what you thought, how you thought it was going to be is 100% different. Or it's just, there's a million things every single day that you are solving. So how do you go about looking at all of the, I just find that there's a lot more moving parts that can break, I guess is the easy way to say it to people. So how do you go about looking at problems? Because you can't look at them as problems. You almost have to become this different like mindset of looking at all the things. So how do you deal with that?
I go into everything with the new mentality of starting slow and failing fast. And if you can fail fast and move and just pick yourself up and move on to the next thing and get it right on the next round or the next round, it's an easier way of building a business. I think that you need to know you're going to fail. You're going to fail a lot. You're going to fall down. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to hire the wrong person or the wrong agency. We've already done it. I've made these mistakes. I've already done it with MindRate. And it's just, you know, don't let it linger. Fail fast. And move on to the next thing.
So when you see something that is either going wrong or a wrong hire or something within, you know, that just anything going wrong, let's talk about either someone you hired or someone that you're working with. How fast is that turnaround time, and what does that look like?
So for me, I used to try to fix it. Everything was fixable. You could change someone. You can, if you're not getting it the right way, it's going to change. If your management style changes, or, you know, I used to think it was something I was doing wrong. But when it's not a right fit, it normally is from the beginning, when you have that sense in your gut, it's not a right fit and it's time to move on, and you just move on quickly.
Just learned that lesson and did it quickly. I was so proud of myself. So,
which honestly is a really hard and humbling experience.
It's actually awful.
It's awful. It's terrible. I don't like letting people go. And that was part of the reason why I held on to so many things for too long in my life. But being able to identify and put the company's needs before anything else is the most important thing.
You know, so much of what you're saying, I'm realizing the more that we just surround ourselves with mentors and we surround ourselves with other people doing the same thing, it makes your comeback rate so much faster. Because where I used to beat myself up, like, oh, I feel bad I did that, or should I have let the, like, all the second guessing, instead you get on with a Chris Bernard, Bernie. I'm going to say all three names. Instead you get on with Bernie, who says, no, that's normal. You know, forgive yourself faster, then you're over it and you can move on to the next thing. So who you surround yourself with is so important. So I'd love to hear a little bit about just, you know, who have you surrounded yourself with while you're building these different things? Like who do you make sure that you go to, or, you know, when you have these big questions, or are you listening to podcasts? Are you listening to reading books? What are you doing?
I'm reading books. I'm listening to a lot more podcasts. I mean, I get my fill of Chris and Lori Harder, Lewis House, all the names. You know, it's just like you take bits and pieces from all the podcasts and start to put that together. But for me, it's, you know, there's certain people in my life over the years that, you know, have been there for me since my days at Burton. One of them is a gentleman by the name of Laurent Vigneault, French guy. he was with Burton for, you know, 27 years, had one of the most decorated careers in the industry, ran in, you know, an $85 million territory for the brand. And one of the most successful people I knew. And I used to look at him, I'm like, man, this guy is just like, he's touched. He's got the golden touch. Anything he did was successful. And I attributed a lot of it to luck, but it wasn't. He never cut corners. He always jumped in with 2 feet and he gave it his all. And like, he does it with everything that he is. And he's also someone that no matter what it was, he'd always stop to help me with my problem, make an intro, put me in the right position. And I was like, is he doing it for me or was he doing it for himself? I think he was doing it for both, but like also it brought him pleasure to help other people. And I've always lived by that. Like if someone needs advice, if someone needs help, I'm going to give it to you because you never know. I don't want anything in return, but for me, it's the feel good of helping someone achieve their goals. I love that. You know, if something comes of it later down the road, great, not great. So Laurent was a big one. And then now with MindRight, I mean, Rob Dyrdek, Brian Atlas, his crew, the people that he's surrounded himself with have become that system for me. And it's a room filled with very intelligent people, driven by the passion of building businesses. And that is something that I've never experienced in my entire life.
Okay. So we're going to dive into that because you just talked a little bit about your new company, but yes, like literally I'm like, Rob needs to put out podcasts faster. I don't think he even knows. It's probably a little bit scary, the level of like obsessed with his brain, how his brain works. I am. Cause I'm just like, I love.
Drive yourself crazy.
Oh my God. He's like brilliant. I just like could like listen and learn all day long. And I felt when, you know, I listened to your podcast with him and I was like, I just want to sit and learn from, I think that's the thing is when you start to find, for me, like product companies, I think is the reason I was born. And I didn't realize that until now. And it's like, how have I not been sitting in on these conversations before? And they're so layered and you'll never know everything. And I think that's why I love it so much is you will always be humbled and you will always be new depending on what you're doing. And then right when you think you know what you're doing, the landscape changes. So, and the consumer changes.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
And then COVID hits and then the presidential election. It's always something. It's always something.
Yeah. And I think that's been really, I think, powerful for everyone is to just to realize that I think one of the biggest lessons with CPG has just been the amount of flexibility and pivoting that we need to be open to as human beings in general, whether, you know, you have a full-time job, a career, or whether you're an entrepreneur. But I want to talk about MindRight. So tell me about this new venture that you're doing right now, because I literally just ate a MindRight bar before this.
Well, you know, MindRight is the brainchild of an entrepreneur looking to support his lifestyle and career with products that support mood, energy, and focus, which for me are my pillars of being successful. If I don't feel good and I don't have the energy to do something and I'm not focused on it, can't get my mind right. And it's very hard to achieve your goals when those things are lacking. And, you know, I dove into research around, you know, ways to improve your mood. By the way, when you turn 40, shit changes and you slow down and you start to have all sorts of new anxieties or thoughts or your mentality shifts, your mindset changes. And I wasn't even aware of it until I had a few failures and I'm like, what changed? And to me, it was like, okay, I was a little bit heavier. That changed, but it was really my mindset. And I lost my focus on what was driving me to be successful through my days at Burton. you know, that passion, that fire that I had, where did it go? And it was this mindset. And I found myself complaining a lot. Mm-hmm. And my poor wife would feel the brunt of that. God bless her. She's amazing. And so she's like, literally, you just need to shut up and fix it. Right.
Sometimes those are the best. Like Chris has had a few moments like that with me where he's done that for me. And I'm like, you asshole. And then I'm like, oh, thank you so much. Like later, you know?
I mean, she didn't hold back. But like, she was right. And I realized like your, how you feel and what you want to be and where you are, it really is up to you. And I had the control to change. And, you know, one of the things that I was not doing, and it was, my exercise was gone. My diet was shit. I was drinking a lot. I wasn't sleeping well. Mm-hmm. And those are the pillars of feeling good and, yes. and drive your energy and they drive your focus. So exercise, sleep, and then diet and nutrition. And I really, you know, I wanted to build something that supported my lifestyle. So I was introduced to Rob Dyrdek. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went to him as like, I didn't really understand why he wanted to meet. He was apparently looking for entrepreneurs with ideas. I wasn't really in on that whole concept of what he was looking for. And he and I just hit it off. And I think ultimately I understood he was looking for an idea. And I brought him this concept around food and ingredients that help drive your cognitive function, mm-hmm. your mood. And he loved it. He loved it because he too is always looking to build into brands that support his lifestyle or that are organic to him. And as an entrepreneur, who doesn't want, you know, more energy, more feel good,
yes,
more
totally. Focus? It's the best. It's the only way, like you're saying, for sure.
It's the only way that you cannot feel like shit and be successful. You can't.
It changes my, like on the weekends, it changes all of my decision-making because I'm like, I can't build this on Monday if I don't take care of myself over the weekend.
100%. Yeah. My wife and I just talked about that very same thing. You're right. And there's moments where you have to slip and that's okay too, yeah. but you just have to make sure that
get back on. It does happen. Don't get me wrong. It does happen.
I went to Cabo this weekend for 40th and this morning I woke up, I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be hard, but let's do this. I got out, I went for my run. It was the hardest thing I ever did. And you just do it.
Yeah.
But I'm just sweating the cobble on.
For real.
For real. So I lost my train of thought. Oh, Rob.
Yep, Rob.
So Rob's excited. Rob's in. Rob invests. We spend, we pulled the trigger in February of 2020. We signed a contract together to become partners to build the world's greatest, you know, brain food platform that the world has ever known. And we set out and we started with design and the elements that build into the naming process of the brand. And we landed on MindRight and it was funny because we had three other names before it and MindRight was always an afterthought. And then one day we just started thinking about it and it was like, just can't do anything until you get your mind right. And it's just like, just made so much sense all of a sudden, and MindRight was born. And now, you know, we're trying to build out a platform of food and beverage products that support your mood, energy, and focus.
Okay, so you started with bars.
Yeah, we started with bars.
That was the original.
That was the original. I think that we chose a category that was low barrier to entry.
Yep,
and you know, we had some manufacturing relationships would be easy to build from there, with the goal of building out a really, really cool suite of products to support that.
So how do you know when to go to the next product? So is it just going to be, you know, we have this one nailed and now we can move on to the next one. What does that look like?
I think for us, it's different because we're choosing to remain digitally native for as long as we can. We want to sell online. We want to win on Amazon. We want to win direct to consumer. We want to look at other e-com platforms to partner with. And that means more SKUs. And more SKUs for us will happen more frequently than they normally would at retail. At retail, you want to take time. You want to be cautious of the retail partnerships you enter into, because once you're on shelf, you need to support yourself through. And that takes a lot of work and energy. We're taking that work and energy and we're building it into ads to build the brand and the platform. So it's just, you know, a different way of building the business. So for us right now, you know, we're 4 months in on the bars. They're performing well. We have a new flavor launching this week.
You're going to say what it is?
Chocolate sea salt.
Oh God. So good.
Chocolate sea salt is coming this week, which we're excited about. It's delicious. But we have, you know, 5 other products that we're testing right now. And we're testing it a few different ways with our current consumer base. We're asking them to take surveys and understand what excites them, what their needs are, what their daily routine looks like. We're running ads on paid channels to see click-through rates and email acquisition. And then we're understanding, we're doing competitive analysis against other categories to make sure that what we're building makes sense.
Let's take 1 minute to talk about Gusto. It's the end of the year and it always feels like there is so much administrative work to get done to keep things simple, organized, and best of all, quick. I trust Gusto to keep me on track and compliant with all my HR benefits and needs. I've teamed up with Gusto and they're offering you 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/Lori. As we head into the new year and ensure all 2021 is squared away for tax purposes, I love that Gusto keeps all employee documentation so organized. It stores W-2s and 1099s and also automatically files and pays state, local, and federal payroll taxes. It's also the same for all my employees. From their perspective, they too can access all important documentation in one place. And with the holiday season coming up, they can also track their working hours and request time off. Did I mention that Gusto also offers easy to run payroll and expert HR support? On average, it takes 11 minutes to run your payroll with Gusto, but for a small business like my own, it literally takes seconds. Gusto truly is a one-stop shop and online solution to manage payroll, benefits, and HR. To get acquainted with Gusto, we're giving you 3 months free when you run your first payroll at gusto.com/Lori. Go ahead and give it a try, you guys, at gusto.com/Lori. Now let's get back to the episode.
Now, I know it's a million different things, you know, especially when you're doing your product, launching it digitally or selling it digitally. It's a million different components that go into like creating this thing we call sales. So what have you found? Because you came from another CPG company. And what have you found has been some of the biggest maybe outlets that have paid off for you?
For me, it's really Amazon. I think it's such an easy platform that was very much enhanced through COVID. I mean, the need for convenience and home delivery, the adoption rate skyrocketed, right? Like all the late adopters figured that shit out.
Yeah, like, real fast.
The market's like crazy. There's no food there. There's no toilet paper. I need to figure this out. And I think the adoption rate exploded and Amazon in home delivery now is more important than ever. And you know, you've got reviews, you've got next day delivery, you've got all the convenience and the luxury of understanding that life cycle of that purchase. And I think it's a really easy way to buy products and for us to test products because you can fail quickly. Whether something's working or not, you're going to know within 3 months and you can pivot, shift and make adjustments. And I think if you can build there, you can build direct to consumer. And I think as you build confidence in the customer and you start to build repeat purchases, they come to you, to your website to understand you a little bit more, learn more about the brand. And then we have a direct relationship with them. I think Amazon is a really great place to begin in CPG.
So just for people who maybe don't know anything about it, reasons you wouldn't go on Amazon, potentially cost of doing business with them.
Plus, obviously, you know, Amazon referral fees are expensive, but you can make the case that going into retail is expensive.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of costs and trade spend that goes into that. The other reason is once you give them control of your products, you lose a touch point to the customer. customer. Mm-hmm. Don't talk. You don't get to speak directly to the customer. You know, you don't have access to them, which could also, the same case can be made at retail.
Mm-hmm. That's collect really their info through Amazon or no?
You can't.
Oh man. But still, that is, if the end goal is getting the bar or the drink or the thing into the consumer's hands so they try it and you acquire that customer, then that's something you wouldn't have been able to do, or you would have had to pay a lot of money to get to them through ads or marketing. Yeah. So there's a lot of pros and cons. I think it's mostly all pros.
Mostly all pros. And the final con could potentially be, and this is the science behind Amazon, is understanding the shipping costs and logistic costs of your product. If it's heavier, if it's not, if the price isn't in value with the weight per cost of shipping, then you could have some challenges there. So understanding the dimensions of your packaging, the weight versus shipping costs are all keys to success on Amazon.
Mm. What has been a huge lesson that you've brought from your past company into this one that you feel has just been like game changing for starting this new one?
I think, right off the top, it's the partnerships. If you intend to bring on a partner, they need to bring an equal amount of shared value to the company. Those terms and those conditions need to be laid out very clearly up front so that you know what you bring to the table and you know what they bring to the table. I think if you go in and like, we'll figure this out and, you know, we'll talk about who owns what later on down the road, it is a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
I think putting yourself in the room with really smart people that balance your strengths and your weaknesses is keys to success when you're considering a partner.
Building anything with people is, in the beginning, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to build a team or this will be great, but I can build that down the road. I was like, oh, the second that I like saw the scopes of work, I was like, there's no way I can't find people who either I'm going to partner with or who I need to hire faster, who are better than me. Like building the team has been number one. So I want to hear a little bit about how you've built your team. What did you find people from your past CPG company, or how did that all look?
Yeah. I haven't brought anyone in from my past CPG company. I've brought in people that I've worked with over the years in other capacities, whether it's, parallel to something else I've done that they know they've had success in their role. I found someone from my past who's very strong with Amazon product development and strategic business growth. We've been talking about having him come in. We set our boundaries up front very, very quickly early on, right before we said, let's do this. And
okay, wait, what does that look like? Because those are the conversations I want to know. When you said,
this is what I bring to the table. These are the things that I'm going to work on and focus on. These are the promises that I can make. These are the things that I cannot do. And it was just very, very clearly laid out. And it was driven by him, which was like a dream. So if you can find an employee that could come with a clear set of expectations and boundaries, like, I think that's amazing. And it's almost something that I might incorporate into how I hire in the future. I might ask that future hire to do the same thing. Share with me your expectations and your boundaries, so I'm clear up front.
Oh, I mean, it's so good.
Detailed, all the way down into like, hey, if you need to reach me after hours, like here's why and how, and the weekends, or this is when I'm working. It was great.
Oh my God. That is so powerful, because there's no questions at all. And you also know if you're up for it from the beginning or not. Like, you're not going to have a surprise, which is so powerful. So did you have conversations like that with Rob?
I did. And I think, early on when we negotiated our contract together, I had some asks, which normally, like, who the hell would try to negotiate with Rob Dyrdek? And he's giving you this opportunity to build your dream. But I had a few asks of him, and I think he's just so amazing and excited to build that. He's like, yeah, I'm into that. And those are great expectations. And we did set a clear roadmap up front. And he tests and validates and understands, you know, where you're going to land 5 years from now. And I think that was a really important part of the relationship.
I think that's so important. No matter, the reason I asked that is because there is that place where I think sometimes we get these like really big opportunities. And I've had moments in the past in my career where it's like, oh my God, you don't want to say anything for fear of losing it. But a lot of times you don't show up your best if you don't get to say those particular things like, hey, I'm great at this, or this way of communicating doesn't work best with me. So just reminding people like it can be a great opportunity and you can still show up with your needs or expressing your needs. And I think they'll respect that more. Like I'm sure, I think the people who are like true leaders, like I'm sure Rob was like, that's freaking awesome that now I know how to, you know, communicate with you and how to be. So what is your biggest lesson right now that comes to the top of your mind on building this business? Like what's happened recently that just feels like in the forefront of your mind that felt like a beautiful lesson? Maybe it came from challenges because they always do.
Yeah. You know, I think for me, it's when you're building your own business, you need to put yourself out there. You can't expect to hire someone else and have them put themselves out there for you. It has to be you. And I think I keep looking at agencies for answers. Answers are here and building my team internally. And I think being hesitant to make mistakes and hire the right people, it always comes back to haunt you. And that's still to this day, we talked about it earlier, it's like hiring slow, firing fast, or exiting fast is a really important part.
I'm literally dying right now because this is my question for today. That exact thing is what I'm going through. So I'm literally like, I'm right there with you in this very moment. And it's like really the realization of the vision casting, you know, and all of those things. So, okay.
And it's hard for me. It's not something I'm comfortable with at all. It's hard. And I just, personally, I'm trying to put myself out there more. Especially when it comes to talking about the brand.
So what would be your ideal like scenario and places to be and out there? What does out there look like?
I think obviously social media for us, because it's where all the eyeballs are right now. It's our fastest way to talk to people. I think it's understanding like, how am I relevant to you or to our audience that would be interested in mine, right? What's the story I need to be telling and how is that story relevant without feeling like, you know, this 40-year-old, you know, dad of four kids that's trying to pitch a product and want it to be relevant and exciting to our audience.
So, oh my God. Well, I'm like, okay, so unsolicited, but I will tell you. So the value that I am obsessed with that I see you bringing is the creative process. I think that whether you sit on, you know, all of these different panels of entrepreneurship, like I know that getting the product out there is like, if they fall in love with you and the learnings, it's really in your message. It's like the product will go, like it just does. I see it all the time. I'll listen to somebody and just value what they're saying. And then I end up being a consumer because I'm so obsessed with the story or what they're doing or whatever that looks like. So I think there's a lot of ways for product, but that's really honestly what I'm trying to figure out and focus on too with mine. And I'm doing so much R&D with the current audience. Like it's interesting, isn't it? It's just like, what do you want from me? Tell me, because I want to show up.
Well, and that's for me, it goes back to, you know, the why we're doing this. Like, MindRight is a lifestyle. It's literally a lifestyle of preparing your mindset so that you can be a little bit closer to whatever your success looks like. And I think for us, it's sharing stories from people like yourself, our community of other entrepreneurs, of people that are focused on their growth and their mindset and telling stories of success and tidbits of information that help support that. I think it lends well to the idea of getting MindRight.
Yeah, I think your product to me is, you know, the things that you're talking about, your brand supports everything that you want to support people with. It's literally what you're doing. So
it
you're
the tool in our toolbox of being successful in our everyday hustle.
Totally. And I think that's the pitch. It's like you know, it's just, it's amazing because you create these products that help support entrepreneurs, and here's the entrepreneurial story, or entrepreneurs, or whomever, anyone who wants to do something more.
Right. The happy hustler.
Right. I love that. Okay. So what is your favorite thing about yourself?
I have good intuition. Like it's like almost freaky. Like I can tell something about someone very quickly, whether it's right or wrong or good fit or not good fit, someone yeah. I'll be right away. I get a very strong sense from people.
Gut, heart, solar plexus, where do you feel it in your body?
I feel it in my body. I feel it in my heart. Like I just know. And it's like almost a conviction. Like,
Well, that helps guide your decisions, right?
I've used it in business and everything I do. And I think it's my light. It's led me to some great places.
I love that. So if you've ever listened to this podcast, we actually talk probably about 60% about intuition and in decisions, you know, and I totally made that percentage up right now, but definitely a lot about intuition, because it's a fast decision maker. And then you collect your data after that as well. It's just, you have to trust something with this because you do have to move quickly. So you're either going to be out there collecting data that is going to be you can find data for good, you can find data for bad. And it's kind of like you have to end up just deciding what you're trusting and then getting the feedback from that. So what do you do when you make a decision that you're like, oh, I felt that one in my gut, but maybe it was about this, you know, maybe it didn't turn out the way you wanted, but then you extract the lesson. So I think intuition is interesting because it's like, it doesn't always get you what you want, but it gets you the lesson you needed.
Yeah. It's not what you want, it's what you needed. That's equally as important.
Mm-hmm. How did you learn to trust that? Has that been since you were a little kid or what?
Since I was a little kid. Mm. Yeah. Mm. You know, I think my mom had it rough when we were growing up and she was working all the time. And I think that's where some of my work ethic came from was my mom. She wasn't there to guide me because she had to work because my dad wasn't around. I saw this in her and I had to make decisions for me and my brother because we were home alone a lot. So I just like, you know, you just feel what's right and you just go with it. And I think for me, it's almost how I'm successful in a few other things that I'm, you know, decent at in life, which is cooking. I think it should taste like this. And I go with my gut and it came out great. You use that intuition into little pockets of your life. And for me, it's worked.
And you just trust yourself. Like after you've done it enough and you kind of start to understand what the process is, right. How do you like forgive yourself when it doesn't go right? Like for people who maybe are like, whoa, I've never really, you know, maybe all the Virgos out there who are like, they need all the data first before they can trust their intuition. Like what would be a quick like tip if there is one on, you know, starting to trust your gut?
I think, you know, if you've trusted your gut or you failed or whatever, I think it's getting a small win. You know, a small win starts to build your confidence back. And I think, you know, I think your gut lends really well to helping identify what those small wins could be and just win. It could be the smallest thing in the world, but everything adds up. Everything keeps adding up. You know, the other thing that I've done over the years too, is I've always, taken an account of what my worst case scenario is. And like, when you think about failure, right? Like it's so stressful and it's the worst. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose this. I have no money. I'm, you know, the collection guy's coming. But when I think about my true worst case scenario, and this is not for everyone because someone's worst case scenario is much worse than mine. But for me, it's living around the corner with my wonderful Hispanic in-laws, eating the best Mexican food you've ever eaten in a loving, you know, very religious home. That's my worst case scenario.
Right.
I can deal with that. I can deal with that. So from there, everything else is a win.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I actually think that's why I've been able to be successful is that I got to live in a worst case scenario, and it was, we still found happiness in it. Well, not terrible. Just we lost everything and had to, you know, borrow money and be in debt and all of the things. And it was awful. And we figured it out. So I always think back to them like, okay, babe, if we talking to my husband, like if we have to go back to that, could we do it again? Like, and we're like, yeah, I guess we'd rebuild. It would suck. It'd be real bad. And we would just do it all over again. So I think that's so powerful is to when you can make peace with that. And I've had to do that with this company. Like, okay, what if you lose investors' money? What will that look like? Well, I'd work again to try to figure out how to get that back or whatever that looks like. It just doing that has freed me up so much instead of avoiding it. And I think that's a big thing that people do is they just don't let themselves think about the solutions around the potential of, okay, well, what if it fails? What would that, you know, what would you do? Who right. would you, so how would you support yourself? And then when you figure out those answers, you're like free to fly. So then you don't have to be weighed down by that. I love that so much. Okay. Well, I could talk to you all day long and I want to respect your time. So I'm literally like, wow, where did that time go? This was amazing. So Bernie, because I'm going to call you that now because all your friends do. Where can we find you, follow you, get the bars, all of the things, support you? Because now we just want to support all of your, everything that you're doing.
I appreciate that so much. Well, we're available on getmineright.com. We're available on Amazon. You can find us on social media at getmineright. And you want to follow me? I'm CS Bernie.
You guys, they are so good. Like literally we just ordered. So we have bars all the time come to the house and we just ordered 5 more boxes. I just got them. And the first box is almost gone. It's only been 2 days. We do have my brother-in-law and his girlfriend living in the house right now while they're doing their remodel. So like they're not lasting in the house. So I will tell you, this is a huge like MindRight bar family. So I guess we're all extremely focused and happy and satisfied. So grateful for you.
I appreciate it. And look out for the chocolate sea salt. I'll send you some next week. It's amazing.
Oh, I will be looking out. I will be stocking it. So that's great. All right. So grateful for you. You guys definitely make sure to tag him, let him know what your biggest takeaway was from this, because it's always so much fun to actually see the value for the guest that they gave. So make sure you tag him, let him know. And also just go check out the bars because they are freaking amazing. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Until next time, earn your happy. Bye-bye.